Welcome to our Bible study. We're in the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel, chapter 20. We're going to go through just one chapter today. Then I'm going to share another passage at the end of this with you. Next week, we'll go through 21 and 22. They're shorter chapters. So we're going to be, I'll let you guys get there, chapter 20. Then we'll open in prayer. First book of Samuel. Favorite book. Yeah. Whatever book we're in, that's our favorite. All right, let's go ahead. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together in Jesus' name on this afternoon to go through this chapter, your word, we ask you, Lord, that you'd speak directly into our hearts, Lord, that you'd minister to us this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 20. Chapter 20 begins with David on the run again. David's going to be on the run for a long time from Saul. So let's go ahead. We'll pick up in verse 1. I'm going to read right down through verse 23. Halfway through, we'll discuss it, and then we'll go through the other half. So it says in verse 1, it says, then David fled from Naoth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without telling me first. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said, do not let Jonathan know this. Okay, so Jonathan thinks he knows, but he doesn't. Lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Verse 4, so Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do for you. And David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat, but let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. Verse 6, if your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says this, it is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Verse 8, therefore you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself. You see what he said right there, Jonathan? He's saying, hey, I'd rather you kill me than your father. It says, for why should you bring me to your father? But Jonathan says, far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father, I would come to you. Then I would tell you. Then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me, or what if your father answers you roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good to a David, I do not send to you and tell you. May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you, and you away and send you away that you may go in safely. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. Well, he was in the beginning. And you shall not only show me kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan, verse 17, now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and remain by the stone Ezel. Verse 20, then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad, saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. Verse 22, but if I say to this young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for this matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord be between you and me forever. So let's stop here for a minute. Excuse me. So after staying in Ramah with Samuel, remember he went to see Samuel, David fled, believing that Saul was still out to kill him. Okay, so he fled, right? Jonathan was not sure, about his father's intentions that he still wanted to kill him. Saul hid this from his son Jonathan because he knew he was close to David, right? And he tried to reassure he was no longer in danger because Saul was hiding it from Jonathan. So together they come up with a plan to find out what Saul's intentions are, right? He says the next day is the new moon, okay? And Saul was going to host a meal. David knew Saul would expect him to be at this meal. And he said to Jonathan to watch for Saul's response because I'm not going to be there at the meal, okay? Now, in the Bible, a new moon is the start of a new month. So think of that, okay? In the Jewish calendar, it's a time for special worship and offerings, okay? The new moon, just in case you want to know what that was. So they're going to have this big feast. Saul's having this big feast called the New Moon. They're going to celebrate. They're going to have this big feast. And he is thinking David's coming to the feast, but he's not. So Jonathan was to tell his father that David went home to his family to be in Bethlehem, as we just read. That's why he wasn't there. Okay? And if Saul was content with the answer that Jonathan gave him, then David would assume Saul was no longer trying to kill him. But if Saul became angry, then David would assume Saul was still out to kill him, okay? So Jonathan told David to hide himself until he learned Saul's intentions, okay? When he learned the answer, he would inform David by the signal of arrows, right? Depending on where Jonathan shot the arrows, David would, whether it would be safe or not to return to Saul's house. So this is what they were trying to find out. Jonathan says that he'll go out to the field. He's going to shoot 3 arrows in this field, right, as if he was target practicing. That's what he said. It's going to look like I'm just target practicing. But you know what it stands for the arrow. So if he tells the boys, Jonathan tells the lad, as he said, that brought with him, maybe it was his son, I don't know. He said, if the arrows are on the side of you, David, it means Saul is not planning to harm you. So he knows David's out in the field, and he's going to shoot off an arrow. If he shoots it to the side, then David would know that Saul, all is good. He's not looking to harm you. But he said, but if I shoot an arrow beyond you and tell the lad that the arrow's beyond, then my father still intends to kill you, so you need to go. Okay? Kind of a thing they came up with together. And the phrase, "the Lord has sent you away," means David's departure would be understood that this was part of God's sovereign plan for David. Okay? The Lord be with you. The Lord has sent you away. This is God's plan, right? They're trusting in the Lord, right? Before David, this is interesting. Before David and Jonathan separated, Jonathan asked David to make a covenant with him. He said, "Please do not cut off all of my family household." Okay? Remember me, because he says, "The Lord's going to wipe out all your enemies for you. We're part of the enemies, my father." He says, "But please don't wipe us all out. Remember the kindness that I showed you when you become king and wipe out these enemies." He goes, "Please don't wipe out all of my family. Remember me." And David did. David said, "Okay, I will remember this. I will do that." And you know, David, he did. He stuck to this promise. when Saul and Jonathan die in chapter 31, okay, when we get into the second book of Samuel, chapter 9, King David, he's king now, he demonstrated his loyalty and grace by seeking out the remaining descendants of Saul's family, of Jonathan's family, and to make sure that they did not get wiped out. So he sent out, and he discovered one of Jonathan's boy. His name is Mephibosheth, okay? Tough name. Jonathan had a crippled son, and he restored all of Saul's land back to him, to the grandson, okay? He invited him also, most of you know the story, David invited Jonathan's son to his house to eat at his table, to eat bread at his table. He took care of him. This was Jonathan's son. So he made good on it. He said, "Hey, I remember your father, me, we had a covenant, and I'm keeping good on it. Your father was good to me, and I'm going to be good to you," right? Because Jonathan's dead. Now, Jonathan and Saul, they die in battle in this book. But by the time we get into 2 Samuel chapter 9, King David searches out, does Jonathan have any family out there that I can save so they don't get killed? So he kept good on it. So, okay, let's pick up in verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Then David hid in the field." So they got this plan, right? "And when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast." Verse 25 says, "Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty." Verse 26, "Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day." On day one, he didn't bring it up. "For he thought something had happened to him, to David. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean." Verse 27 says, "And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, 'Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today?' So Jonathan answered Saul, 'David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to eat at the king's table.'" Verse 30. "Then Saul's anger aroused." Yeah, they found out right there. "Against Jonathan. And he said to him, 'You son of a perverse, rebellious woman.'" Man, this poor guy, Jonathan, can't catch a break with his dad, right? You don't hear that type of slang anymore. "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman." Oh, boy. Exclamation mark. So he yelled it out. "Do I not know you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness?" Verse 31. "For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Well, they got their answer, right? They were looking for to know. Verse 32. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? And Saul cast a spear at Jonathan to kill him. He's lost his mind. By which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. Verse 34, so Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had treated him shamefully. Verse 35. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, their plan, and a little lad was with him. Verse 36. Then he said to the lad, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. There's the answer right there, right? Verse 37, when the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? He's yelling out. He wants David to hear this, right? He's in the field. And Jonathan cried out after that, after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of this matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, go carry them into the city. Verse 41. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from the place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. They knew he had to leave, and their friendship was over because of Saul. Verse 42, our last verse. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Well, let's talk about this. There's a lot of information right here. Jonathan attended his father's new moon meal, as we read. And after 2 days of David not showing up, Saul got very angry. He got so angry that he threw a spear at his own son and accused him of betraying the family. Saul accused Jonathan of betraying the family, right? Then the next morning, Jonathan went into the field to signal with the arrows, right? Before David fled, the two men said goodbye with heavy hearts. They knew they had a best friend relationship, right? Two brothers in Christ, and it was ruined because of Saul. Because Saul, remember we talked about it, he had a bitter root in his heart, and a bitter root in the heart ruins a lot of relationships. They reassured each other an oath between them, saying, the Lord shall be between you and me, and between my offsprings and your offsprings forever, that they weren't going to be together. But he still made a covenant that he would take care of his family, not destroy them all. Right? David and Jonathan's friendship had come to an end all because of Saul. And here's the thing, for no good reason. No good reason. Saul had a root of bitterness which affects many relationships. So here's three takeaways I want to share with you. And then I want to share another passage with you. But the three main takeaways from this chapter, number one, true friendship is sacrificial. Jonathan knew David would become king instead of him. He knew it. Yet he chose loyalty over jealousy. Okay? True friends don't get jealous of each other. Okay? The takeaway, real friendship puts love, truth, and God's will above personal ambition. Okay? Second, number two, loyalty to God comes before loyalty to family. That can be a tough one to swallow, right? Because we love our families, obviously. But God's got to be up here, right? He's got to be first, right? Jesus said that. If you don't put me first, you cannot be my disciple. Period. Okay? Jonathan chose to stand with David because he recognized God's hand was on him. Okay? Even when it meant opposing his father, right? So he's doing right in the sight of the Lord over a family member. As important as you as a Christian to do the same thing. You do what's right in the sight of the Lord, not stand by your family member if they're not doing God's will, right? Even when opposing his father. Our ultimate commitment should be focused. Here's the thing, you got to remember, our focus must be on doing God's will. Okay? Even when you got to do it over the family, God's will. Three, integrity in a conflict. David didn't retaliate against Saul. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. Matter of fact, he never killed him. He had many, we're going to read, he has many opportunities to do it. But he never did it. He respected him as being the king, and he didn't do it. He didn't retaliate. Instead, he sought clarity and acted wisely. Right? So the takeaway here is when facing hostility, respond with wisdom rather than revenge. And just one sentence summary of all this, God, honor, and friendship is built on loyalty, sacrifice, and faithfulness, even in painful circumstances. That had to be tough for Jonathan, if you think about it. This is his father. This is family. But he was doing wrong in the sight of the Lord. And he honored God, and he honored David. Now, before we close, do you know why, or one of the reasons why the Old Testament passages were given to you and me? Why we study the Old Testament passages? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul tells us why. Why it is so important for us to study the Old Testament. Go to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 10. Chapter 10. We're going to look at 12 verses. Paul is going to tell us, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, why it is so important for us to be studying the Old Testament. There are people who just live in a New Testament. They don't, and nothing adds up because they don't know anything about the old. You got to know, if you got to understand the new, you got to understand the old. First Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read down through 1 through 12. Listen to what it says. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Sound familiar? We read this in Exodus. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Look at verse 6. Now these things became our examples, to learn from. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. We remember this. We read all about this. Verse 10, nor complain. Well, that's a tough one, huh, guys? Underline that one. Nor complain. Boy, did they complain. 40 years in the wilderness. God, you want to keep complaining? We're going to walk in the wilderness. Go on, keep complaining. We're going to keep on walking. 40 years. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Yeah? Admonition. Right? Our example. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, be careful, lest he fall. Whoa, okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Paul is telling us these Old Testament scriptures are important for you and me to know because we can learn from them what God expects from us and what we can expect from God and what things not to do and what things to do. He just gave us a bunch of examples on things not to do. He says, hey, guys, remember what these guys did in the wilderness for 40 days. Don't be like them. Look what we've learned about Saul. Bitter root in the heart. Ruins the family. Ruined all the relationships. These Old Testament scriptures, they're examples for us to learn from. How to live, how not to live. How to honor God when you're not honoring God. Consequences. Studying the Old Testament is so important. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 15, verse 4 through 6. He wrote, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Okay? Talking about the Old Testament. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Okay, they also give us hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can learn a lot from the Old Testament. How to act, how not to act. We can read through these Old Testament passages like we did. We studied this when we were back in the book of Exodus, when they were wandering 40 years, the things they were doing that God was against and all the punishments that came. So we can learn a lot from the Old Testament. This is why we study the Old Testament. And that ends chapter 20. Yeah, that ends chapter 20. We'll close in prayer. Now we'll have a discussion. Let's go ahead. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon. We ask you, Lord, that you'll continue to do this, Lord, with us, that you'll open our eyes and our minds and our heart to your word, and that we would be obedient to you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.